It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. For the first time, Duquesne University is hosting 25 young African participants in President Obama's Young African Leaders Initiative. The Mandela Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders was begun in 2014. It's the flagship program of the President's Young African Leaders Initiative. The group is comprised of emerging professionals from sub-Saharan Africa, and Duquesne is the only institution in Pennsylvania to host Young African Fellows. I'm joined now in studio by Joseph DeCrosta. He is the director of the university's Office of International Programs, and he's here to talk about how Duquesne was selected for this. Joseph DeCrosta, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And also with us in studio is Maho Mokalai. Mm-hmm. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah.
I practiced so hard. Maho Mokalai, who has been the senior legal officer for the Ministry of Health in Lesotho since 2009. Maho Mokalai, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
And you can join the conversation with a comment or question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. If there are questions that you have about this program, how it works, who participates, and what they're getting out of it, that's the number to call, 412-246-2002. Joe DeCrosta, let's start with you. How was Duquesne selected to host Mandela Fellows?
Well, we were awarded a grant from the State Department, so we applied for this opportunity back in the fall. It's a joint effort between my office, the Office of International Programs, and the Center for African Studies, led by Dr. Gerald Boudou at Duquesne. And so we decided we're trying to increase our connectivity in Africa because of Duquesne's history in Africa. And this was one way to do it in order to bring some really seasoned professionals to campus. And so we were awarded the grant just before the holidays, and we're very happy to receive it. And so we've been planning the program ever since, and the fellows arrived on June 17th, and it's been nonstop ever since. So it's been a great program.
And what are the parameters and the guidelines for this?
For the participants?
Yes.
So they apply in their home countries. They have to show particular levels of leadership at home. And so then they are interviewed by their local embassies in competition with other people in their home communities. And they have to show certain levels of leadership, what they've done in terms of advocacy in their home countries, in business, in public management. There are different tracks to this program. So we have the civic leadership track, but there's also a public management track, a business and entrepreneurship track, and an energy track. And so they've all shown leadership in these different areas. 42,000 Africans apply for this from all over the continent, sub-Saharan Africans, and only 1,000 are awarded it each year. This is the first year the State Department is supporting 1,000 young fellows. In the past 2 years, there's only been 500 to come to the States.
And when they come here, what do they do?
So we've set up a whole curriculum around issues of leadership in general, leadership theory, but also subtopics that are involved in areas of civic leadership specifically. So we started with community development and civil and human rights. Pittsburgh's a wonderful place to explore those issues, especially in terms of certain communities in our area. Because we're a Catholic affiliated university, we can talk about the issue of religion and how that affects people in these civic leadership situations. Especially when we talk about Africa, we have to talk about what role religion plays. And then we're talking about how business and entrepreneurship affects leadership issues. This week, we're looking at healthcare. So the University of Pittsburgh Medical School and UPMC have been instrumental in helping us build a curriculum around that. And then the last week, we're going to use to really wrap up what we've been learning these 5 weeks. I should say also that the afternoons are mostly comprised of site visits. So we're going on site, talking to the people who are doing the work, seeing the people who are benefiting from the work in our city, and really getting a sense of place and space as well.
So not just sitting in a classroom.
Exactly.
Which would defeat the purpose of going to
Absolutely.
A foreign country and an interesting city like Pittsburgh. Maho, how were you chosen to participate in this Young African Leaders Initiative? What was the process?
It was a very long, very highly competitive process. There were about 4,000 applicants in my country, and they could only take 15 of us. So what usually happens is they look for people who are already partaking on a leadership program on the ground. Most of us were actually running our own companies, running our own non-governmental organizations with a bit of momentum already. So they wanted to also make sure that they get young people who are also interested in the energy. Like it's about four tracks. It's one in energy, business and entrepreneurship. Mine is in civic leadership. And then the other one is in public management. So they want people who will be instrumental in furthering the objectives or implementation of what their organizations are trying to do on the ground. So what they also look at is there should be a bit of something you're already working on a smaller scale. So they build capacity for you in terms of leadership. They also, after the follow-up after this program, is to give you financial assistance to do what you're trying to do, but at a larger scale. So the most important thing also is they give you exposure in a platform here to build global regional networks to advance what you're trying to do.
And you have a legal background, but you obviously have to understand health because you're the legal officer for the Ministry of Health. So talk about what you do in Lesotho and the challenges that you face there.
I have been working for the Minister of Health for the past 9 years now. So some of the things that I do in the ministry is ensuring effective legislative and regulatory framework. So this is to say, when we are talking health policies, legislative interventions in all the various fields of health, that's what I do on my desk. Put aside also the fact that I help with contractual agreements. But the most important thing also is defending the ministry on medical negligence cases. So that is litigation.
So if somebody gets sued, you're there to defend the health ministry?
Yes, if somebody sues the health ministry for medical malpractice, I defend the ministry.
And the challenges that you face, I'm guessing that there are a number of things that we don't have to deal with here in the United States that people here probably need to understand better. Describe some of what you think Americans really need to know.
I will give you a broader picture of Lesotho from the health perspective. We are... it's funny, we were discussing it early this morning. We are second in the world with HIV prevalence. We are second in the world with TB. We are second in the world with alcohol use. We are third in the whole Africa with tobacco use. And you can already see from all these factors that if we are a population of 1.9 million people, and we are dealing with a double burden of both communicable and non-communicable diseases, of course, there has to be a big health intervention that is done to get things changing. I will share one thing with you that is one of the greatest challenges that we have. The umbrella legislation that is regulating health management systems and the health profession in general is an old public health order of 1970. Wow. So you actually understand that if there's a slow progress and lack of political will in making effective legislative interventions to change the lives of the people at grassroots level, then there has to be a bit of mobility on the civil society organization movement to pressure the government in trying to do what is best for the people, which is what motivated me to have a non-governmental organization which will be supporting the government of Lesotho in effective implementation of health policies and legislation.
So you're in that way, you're also an advocate.
Yes. Had I not been an advocate, I don't think I would have qualified for this program. So it's my role in my organization is called Alliance Against Tobacco Use. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help people understand the dangers of tobacco use and exposure. I'm also trying to build capacity within the government of Lesotho on a multi-sectoral approach towards tobacco control implementation.
So obviously hearing how you overcame those odds of, what was it, 15 people being selected out of 4,000.
Exactly.
What was your reaction when you were chosen?
I was so excited. I could not jump. I was actually limp for a moment, and I cried like a baby. I could not believe that it's actually happening, because I had applied. I had applied last year, and I had believed that my application was good enough, you know. And this year I was like, maybe I shouldn't try, because I might miss out on the opportunity again. So I was very pleased to be part of it this year.
We're talking with Maho Makalai. She is a senior legal officer for the Ministry of Health in Lesotho, or as you say it, Lesotho.
Yes.
I believe you can say it either way.
Yes, Lesotho.
Okay.
You got it.
And you are here as part of the Young African Leaders, taking part in the Mandela Washington Fellowship, President Obama's Young African Leaders Initiative. You are here with Duquesne University, the only institution in Pennsylvania hosting the Young African Fellows. And also with me in studio is Joe DeCrosta. He's director of the university's Office of International Programs. And I'm curious, Maho, what you are learning so far in Pittsburgh.
I'll tell you one thing, that's for sure. I have been sharing this with Joe since I got here. The diversity that of knowledge that I have received here has managed to give me what I call a personal and professional transformation. I want to give you a brief synopsis.
Sure.
Of what we were looking into. At first, on the first week, we were given the capacity to have the ability to, you know, meet a person for like 2 minutes and be able to draw a picture for them, who you are, what you're trying to do, and how you can actually establish a platform of collaboration in what you're trying to achieve through your organization.
The famous American elevator.
Elevator,
speech.
Exactly. So they even helped us understand how important it is to have a vision and a mission and have a direction, have an effective strategy on the ground to help you mobilize whatever it is that you're trying to do. They helped us understand the importance of not just knowing the role of leadership, but knowing what ethical leadership is about, understanding what servant leadership is about, understanding that you have to lead people mindfully, and this starts with yourself. There's something that I found divinely phenomenal. They shared with me that if you cannot lead yourself, it's very highly unlikely that you will lead your organization or even your people.
If you cannot lead yourself,
if
you can't
lead,
lead yourself,
you can't lead other people. So this helped me go through a journey of self-discovery, self-actualization, self-mastery. And I have been on that journey till today. And it is lovely that we have had an opportunity to not only have this lecturers indoors, but to also go for community, I could say, side visits, understanding how you use or maybe work together with the community to bring about change in the community. How Pittsburgh got to where it is now through collaborations with the government and the people for the benefit of the people of Pittsburgh. And it's been an amazing experience for me, because I got to understand that as much as we are all living in different parts of the world, the problems that we face are common. And what matters is the approach you use to deal with the problems.
So you're here learning, but I'm curious what you think America and Americans and Pittsburghers can learn from the young leaders of Africa like yourself.
We were just talking about this on the way over here.
I know. Yeah. It's amazing how common our problems are, but I think the most prudent thing that Americans can learn from us is as Africans, there is nothing as powerful as the need to lead ethically with an element of affection. We call it Ubuntu. We call it the element of humanity.
Ubuntu.
Ubuntu, exactly. With the understanding that we all have a seed of affection inside of us, and a seed of love to plant in the lives of people that we meet. But above everything else, they need to understand that we are supposed to serve one another at personal and professional levels. And I have learned that what is most important is how we are all from African countries with our different cultures. There's a wealth of culture that Americans could learn from Africa. And the most exciting thing is how we actually use our cultures to enjoy our part of the world. So I would encourage Americans to invest in visiting African countries and exploring their wealth of cultures.
President Obama said, "I have no doubt," this is his actual quote, "I have no doubt that you're going to leave behind for the next generation and the generation after that an Africa that is strong and vibrant and prosperous and is ascendant on the world stage." What does that statement mean to you?
This means we were brought here as a form of an investment. America was saying, we bring these young people here. We will invest in these young people with the understanding that they will go back to their countries and be part of a transformational movement to change Africa into a platform where it will be as developed in all its various aspects like every other country. And what is most important about it is understanding that as you make all these changes, this is a story you are leaving behind. And the story has to be so powerful that even after, let me put it in a blunt sense, even after you die, your legacy will speak for you. So what is important is the understanding that we are investing in you. Go back home, make a change, like Mandela did in South Africa, that the rest of the world will remember you for.
Mm. And, you know, Paul, I want to emphasize, too, that some people are of the opinion that this program is simply to teach young Africans what we're doing in this country and bring those ideas back home to help develop.
But it's really a two-way thing.
It's really a two-way street. It's really about learning from each other. It really is. We were talking about that on the way over here.
And exactly.
What I've learned from all of these people in the last 5 weeks has been amazing. But I think just being able to network with people in Pittsburgh that are doing various advocacy activities and, you know, talking to people in neighborhoods that have been struggling over the years and are really emerging now has been very exciting. And I couldn't think of a better city really to talk about these civic leadership issues than Pittsburgh right now at this moment in its history.
And I guess when she and the others have to leave, you're really going to miss people like Majo.
Absolutely.
And we'll miss this place too.
You like Pittsburgh?
I love it.
Can I do a little plug for Majo for a second
here?
She is an award-winning jazz singer in her country as well. So I just wanted to point that out. She she won the national award for her jazz album last year. So this woman, there's a reason why she has been awarded this fellowship this year.
Well, we had no idea. Well, you looked a little embarrassed when he said that.
No, not necessarily.
She's very humble about it.
Yes. Well,
but I must say I'm so excited about this opportunity because I got to meet up the guys from Startup Town, and I have a gig.
And Next week.
I know, right?
Here in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Okay, when and where?
On the 28th of July, I'll be performing at Startup Town.
Okay. In the Paramount Theater office.
Exactly. Okay. So I'll be working with a band, an African band from North and West Africa.
So people who have been appetized by this will have an opportunity to hear you sing, and then that way I don't have to put you on the spot.
Exactly.
Ask you to sing right
exactly.
Now. Well, it's been delightful to meet you. Majo Makalai, who is the senior legal officer for the Ministry of Health in Lesotho or Lesotho since 2009, and she is here as part of one of the participants among 25 at Duquesne who are part of President Obama's Young African Leaders Initiative. Majo, it's been a pleasure visiting
Thank
with you.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And also the Duquesne University representative who is overseeing all of this, Joseph DeCrosta, the university's director of the Office of International Programs. Joe DeCrosta, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Coming up, they were members of a Latrobe band covering the song Hanky Panky in a Greensburg lounge when Tommy James needed them to become the Shondells. And how Pokemon Go is taking Pittsburgh by storm. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.